Welcome back, everybody, to the Caught Red Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Megan Light.
And I'm Jesse Light.
We are just two dog lovers here to talk some true crime, horror movies, and of course, our dogs, too. Mowgli literally just tried to eat Ripley's face when we got up here, so...
Oh, I thought that was Breeze he was going after.
No, that was his sister. That's why I swatted his nose. That's a bad boy. Her whole head fits in his mouth.
He does have a big-ass head.
It's hard as a rock, too. Lay down, buddy.
He's been a punk lately. What's gotten into him?
His senior years are approaching. He's middle-aged.
He's like Clint Eastwood on Gran Torino out on his front porch. Yeah. Saying, get off my lawn.
I'm like, get out of my bed. I was going to mention that I finally finished True Detective Season 4.
Without me?
You didn't even really watch the other ones.
Didn't give me a chance. Gosh.
You didn't pay attention. Gosh. I liked it. You can't beat Season 1, but I liked Season 4 a lot. The ending, I didn't expect it to be what had happened to what's going on. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not, but...
Was there any more naked Jodie Foster? Because I could have gone my whole life without seeing that.
No more. No. Done. One and done. Sorry about that. No, I like that it was really, like, mystical and supernatural, but really there was, like, an earthly reason for their deaths. I liked it. It was very good. It's...
Because it was, like, minus 100 degrees where they were at, or...
Well, they did die from natural causes, yes, from exposure, but how they got to that point... Because you do remember seeing them all in their, like, little meat pile in the snow. How they got there, you learn in the very last episode at the end, and...
Are they trying to keep themselves warm?
Well... Maybe, but let's just say the community came together for what they did, the men, something they did to one of their own.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only way I can put it without giving spoilers. Yeah. Then I also watched Quiet on Set about Nickelodeon and those poor kids growing up, and I binged all four of those real quick. They're going to have another episode, a fifth one, going to come out next month that gets the cast members back together. I guess the people who they interviewed, and they're going to talk about it a little bit more. So that's in a couple weeks. But if you have a delicate heart, or you have kids, or you love kids, I'm not saying that I don't love kids, but I wasn't as like affected as, you know, some people that have watched it. But it was still like you watch it and you're like, well, that makes sense. I mean, Amanda Bynes.
How she turned out
among some of the other people that have had difficulties, drugs, violence in their lives. There was this account that I learned about. What was her name? Ashley Banks on Twitter. That's Amanda Bynes' other account where she put everything out there years ago. And people either didn't believe her or didn't think that was really her or whatnot. But she comes out and says that she had an abortion at 13 because she was raped by her boss.
Damn.
I mean, that'll mess you up.
Yeah.
Among everything else. So.
I'm ready for some people to start coming out about Diddy.
Let's go. I was literally about to say, it's time. The dominoes are falling. Hopefully people are waking up and noticing signs and not afraid to talk anymore. I'm very excited about this weekend.
What's this weekend?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes. Of course.
We're going to make it a whole family affair.
We got to buy our tickets right after this.
Okay. Are we just going to do one big bundle and get everybody so we sit together?
Yes.
Perfect.
All eight of us.
Yay. I'm so excited. Jesse and I watched 1, 2, and 3 last night. We don't count the women's one as one because that one was shit.
I've still never seen it.
You don't need to. I watched like 10 minutes and I was like, I feel dumb.
I still think Afterlife is my favorite one.
It is really good. You just can't beat the first one.
It's so funny.
And her, you did. You laughed so much. You don't really laugh that much in movies.
Dumb little jokes crack me up. And then podcast. I love that kid.
Uh-huh. Paul Rudd's amazing. I do want to mention one of my many books I've read lately. I just finished it. It's called The Thicket.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That's the one I sent you a picture of in the description. Mm-hmm. And you were like, that would make a badass movie.
The one with the maze.
Yes. So it's by Noelle. And I don't know how to say her last name. It's H-I-L-I. So
could be anything.
I don't know.
Hila, Hila.
Anyway, I don't know. She's written a couple other ones. I'm reading another one of hers right now on my Kindle called Run on Red. And it's fast paced. But The Thicket is actually a fall carnival. And the main character and her little brother go to the carnival. His friends blow him off. You know, they come up with some excuse, so she has to take him. Well, she doesn't want to go into like this little fun house maze kind of a thing. So she's like, go by yourself. I'll meet you at the end. Well, he never comes out. A man goes in because they're all wearing Halloween costumes because it's that time of the year. This man was in costume and he kills the brother and some others. So they shut down the carnival. And of course, you know, it's a moneymaker. So they find a way around to reopen and they use the area still where all these people were killed just weeks prior. But they've kind of did different safety precautions. Like you can't bring cameras, you can't wear a mask. I mean, all sorts of stuff. Well, the sister finally kicks her own butt. She's like, I've got to figure out what's going on. Like, there's something that we're missing because they never caught the person. Well, she goes back to the carnival and she forces herself to go the same path that her brother took. Maybe she could find a clue, just, you know, reconnect with her brother, something like that. Well, she ends up saving the day and saving a bunch of kids. She becomes like a final girl almost in the end. It's pretty badass, but I don't give a lot of 5-star reviews out, and I highly recommend that one. It was good.
Yeah, you don't give too many. So that was a 5-star?
That's a 5-star, and the one that I'm reading now is well on its way. Run on Red by this same lady. It starts off, like, I'm only like in the first like couple chapters, but it's like two friends. It's back in like the early 2000s. Because they're talking about CDs and Britney on the radio and stuff. But they're driving to go to some bonfire party and there is a car that's like stalking them. And it's kind of like Joyride-ish in a way. And so I'm like really into it right now.
Candy cane.
Yes. Other than that, Jesse.
Finally.
Is back in the hot seat, guys. I'm very excited. I don't have a damn clue what's about to happen today.
It was about damn time, wasn't it?
It's fine. You provide for us. You're doing what you gotta do to keep our critters with full bellies. It's fine. And I can buy you cookies and chicken.
Dude, those white chocolate macadamia nut ones. Oof.
I know. I've had too many. And I've had too many Starburst. My belly is not happy. You might hear gurgling.
That's a terrible combination.
It was worth it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Go on, love.
My sources for today, there's an article in Oxygen.com by Eric Hawkins. Then I've got a news press article by Michael Braun. Another news press article by Thomas Rodriguez. Then Fox4Now.com and A&E True Crime.
Oh, that's some big stuff right there.
The A&E True Crime one?
And Oxygen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you branching out?
I am branching out.
The hell?
Out of Arkansas, what? Yeah.
Are you right over there? Shit.
I don't even remember how I came across this one. But I did.
Proceed.
So, on June 18th, 1997, sometime between 2 and 6:30 a.m., a 27-year-old U.S. Marine Corps veteran and a recent police academy grad was just looking for a good time when he was robbed, beaten, and shot in the head in a Fort Myers, Florida motel room. Was this a betrayal and setup by one of his so-called friends, Or was his friend a victim as well, and this was just an opportunity to steal from him when he was most vulnerable? That's kind of what the question's going to be.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind. This is the story of Keith Jones. Keith Jones grew up and lived in Daytona Beach. He had three siblings, two sisters, and then an identical twin brother. And him and his brother did everything together. If Keith bought a new pair of shoes, then his brother Kevin had to go buy himself a new pair of shoes.
Keith and Kevin?
Keith and Kevin, okay. Yeah. Same thing for a watch or any other item. And they loved gymnastics.
Hey!
They'd play outside all the times and do flips and shit all over the yard.
Flips and shit.
They would climb trees, build clubhouses. At school, Kevin was better at science while Keith was better at math. So like any movie or TV show, they would just swap places.
I love
it. So they'd get good grades in both subjects. They had a strong bond that could never be broken. They had that twin superpower where if, say...
They're like synced.
Yeah, if one's thinking of something, the other one can tell you what that something was. Or if one had a dream, the other one can explain what that dream was. Crazy. Unlike Kevin, though, Keith joined the Marines and he was deployed to Saudi Arabia to fight in Desert Storm.
Okay.
When he returned to Florida in 1997, he enrolled in the police academy at Daytona State College. And he had just taken his state exams to become a law enforcement officer. And he was traveling around Florida to these different agencies to look for positions. He made other plans on his trip besides just job searching. For example, he was going to see his sister, Veronica, in Jacksonville on June 15th, because that was her birthday. And at the time, he was living with his other sister, Melissa, in Daytona Beach, and had actually invited her to come with him on this trip, but she declined. So it was just him on this solo trip. When Melissa heard about Keith's passing, she was actually at the hospital with her daughter, and she couldn't contain herself. She had to be taken to another room in a wheelchair. Like, she was just beside herself, which is understandable.
Probably,
yeah. Especially because she could have been there with him that night. And who knows, things could have gone just completely different. He could have been fine. Nothing would have happened if she was there. Who knows?
Or she could be dead too.
Or she could have gotten killed. Keith's twin brother Kevin was working when he received a 911 text on his pager to call his sister. So
pagers.
Yeah. Gosh. Back in the day. The whole family was shocked and devastated. Their parents were determined to find out what happened to Keith, even hiring their own private investigator. Mainly because they weren't really receiving much information from the Fort Myers Police Department. The police department kind of told them that they needed to just stay out of Fort Myers and not get involved. Going back to the discovery of Keith's body in room 42 of the Tides Motel, it took the police a while to even identify the body because there was no identification anywhere in the room.
Oh.
But according to the hotel manager, when Keith checked into the hotel with a woman the previous day, he had requested a wake-up call for 6:30 a.m. that morning. And this was the Tides Motel on First Street in Fort Myers, Florida, which has since been closed down. Well, demolished.
It's gone.
Yeah. It's no longer in existence. So that's probably, you can tell what kind of motel it was.
No-tell motel?
Yeah. The manager, Roger Patel, called Keith's room at 6:30 a.m. and there was no answer. So he decided to wait till 8 a.m. before he'd go knocking on the door. And when he got to the room, the door was wide open. He peeked inside and Jones was lying in there on his back on the double bed. Patel didn't want to invade his privacy.
Like, so, if he was still just passed out or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, he didn't want to disturb him or, like, spook him or anything. So he actually went to the next door over, which was a vacant room, and he called Jones's room, mm-hmm. and there was no answer. So he went back over there and looked a little bit closer, and he saw blood all over the sheets and blood on Jones's hands. That's when he called the police, and he didn't want to disturb the scene anymore at that point.
That is well played, sir. I guess that
he's probably done it before.
Yeah, happens a little more often than it should probably. There.
When the police arrived, they didn't have much to go off of. They didn't find a wallet. There was no cash or, like I said, any identification in the room. So they would have just been completely lost if not for the hotel manager. But it did give them the belief that robbery was probably the motive in the killing. What they did find in the room were a silver-colored woman's sandal, makeup that was scattered on the floor, and cigarette butts. So they knew a woman had to have been involved somehow.
It makes you almost think that, like,
that or Jones was cross-dressing or something, but
her pimp came by and dragged her out of there or something.
Or something.
Oh, what's he grinning about?
Keep the ideas flowing. We'll see. Who knows? Fort Myers police learned that Keith was interviewing with law enforcement agencies around the state. He had already been to Boca Raton and was expected in Tampa for more job hunting. They learned that Keith stopped in Fort Myers not for his job search, but for a woman that he knew. Their next step was to find out who this woman was that he had planned on seeing. And did that sandal belong to her? Was she the woman that he checked in with the night before? And they were able to retrace his steps and found out that he spent some time that night at the local gentleman's club called Looker's, which is located on Fowler Street, about 3.5 miles from the Tides Motel. So,
convenience.
That was at least a start for them, you know.
I like the name Looker's.
She's a looker.
Is she?
So shifting over to a different point of view here, when Michelle Ashley learned from the local TV news report that Keith Jones had been murdered in his motel room, she went straight to the police. Michelle Ashley was a dancer at Looker's under the stage name Cappuccino.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I told Megan, I was like, I gave her one hint for this episode, and it was cappuccino. That was it. But here it is.
That is not what I expected.
What, did you think somebody was going to get killed at a coffee shop?
I don't know. Or you were going to bring me one or something.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Michelle Ashley, or cappuccino, told detectives that...
I really love that. I'm sorry. Cappuccino. I wonder if they all had stage names like latte, macchiato.
Oh, probably, yeah. She told detectives that she had known Keith for a long time. They were close friends. They grew up together in Daytona Beach. According to her, he was somebody that she could talk to, and he was a good person. She told them that she danced for Keith at the club and then went to his motel room with him, returned to the club to work more, and then went back to the motel again later that night. Obviously, she was the woman.
With the makeup everywhere and all that.
You would think. She said her and Keith were just talking when 4 men burst inside, and they pushed her further into the room and brutally pressed her against the dirty floor while she heard a struggle between Keith and the other men. Then she heard the gunshot go off. And they took her from the room and threatened her life if she told anyone. She was scared for her life and thought that they would for sure hurt her or even worse, kill her. Michelle then identified the 4 men for the police as Richard Fraser, Philip Boyd, Jamal Manson, and Gerard Jules. But all 4 couldn't be apprehended because they had all fled town. Plus, there was just little to no actual concrete evidence against any of them. They all did have criminal records, though.
And she just knew who they were.
Right. And she just survived. They didn't kill her.
You would think they would kill her if she knew who they were to begin with.
You would think.
Hmm.
There curious, were. Curious. It's very curious. I'm. I can see both sides of the story when we get to it, but
okay.
There were a few holes in Michelle's story that made the police unsure about her. She claimed her and Keith had just been talking, but they found Keith partially undressed and there was multiple used condoms in the room. Although her story didn't really sit well with the investigators, she was still treated as a victim herself. She wasn't really viewed as a suspect from at the start. The trail ended up going cold after that for over a decade.
Wow.
So yeah, that's why that's why Keith Jones's parents hired a private investigator. Damn. Just because the trail went cold. The police weren't doing nothing or couldn't. They didn't have concrete evidence really. Mm-hmm.
Just the word of a stripper?
Yeah.
Exotic dancer, I'm sorry.
Well, but yeah, Keith's family strongly believed that the woman Jones was seeing that night, Michelle Ashley, uh-huh, Cappuccino, had something to do with it. Like, they were thinking the same as me. Why was she allowed to live?
Uh-huh.
She was able to identify all four men. Why didn't they kill her, too? It just doesn't add up. You know, was she in on it? And then snitched when her back was up against the wall or something. Michelle told the police that Jones was robbed of a substantial amount of cash that he had on him. So you just think, like, could she have gone back and had sex with him and put him in a vulnerable position so he could get robbed?
Well, it's also kind of strange to me that you said she saw on the news that he was killed, but if she was there when it happened.
I don't think she saw what happened. She heard the gunshot and had her head pushed up against down against the ground the whole time. So,
but I'm just saying.
She didn't know if he was dead. Clearly, someone had been shot, but she didn't know if he was dead.
Okay. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
Keith's sister said the fight is not over because the people that did this murder are out there living their lives. Now, in 2016, Derek Diggs became the police chief, and he made solving cold case homicides one of his top priorities. And this is 2016. Keith Jones got killed in 1997, It's been a minute. In 2018, he assigned the Keith Jones case to a new lead detective. Kelly Siegler and her team from Oxygen's Cold Justice they teamed up with Lieutenant Victor Medico, Detective Emily DeStefanis, and Detective Lisa Brenneman to reexamine this 1997 murder. The investigators spent the next year and a half re-interviewing all witnesses all over again, studying old pieces of evidence, even though there really wasn't too many pieces to re-examine. The team sent samples of Keith's fingernail clippings, as well as DNA found under the bed sheets, but nothing conclusive came back.
I can only imagine what was found in the bed sheets.
I don't want to know.
Ugh.
They were able to get a match from the condoms, Keith Jones and Michelle Ashley Jackson. Siegler called all the other results disappointing but not surprising. They basically had to solve this case the old-fashioned way by tracking down witnesses. Siegler and the team interviewed former dancers, bouncers, and a manager from Lookers, but no one really remembered Michelle Ashley or the four suspects. One dancer said it was kind of a revolving door there, so they just went through so many dancers, I guess, coming and going.
Yeah. Peppermint Himpo.
Ugh. They were able to track down two of the male suspects, though, of the four.
Right on.
But both refused to speak about that night. One just shut the door of his motel room in their faces. The other was working as a realtor. So maybe he kind of turned his life around.
Well, yeah. You said it's a motel, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah. He told them that he had complied as much as he was going to comply, which was none at all, I guess. They interviewed Michelle Ashley's brother, who was 12 at the time of the murder. And he said that his sister never told him that she was the victim that night. He said that his sister never said anything to him about allegedly being assaulted during the robbery. The team thought it was odd that she would leave that out when telling her family about such a traumatic event. But who knows? Maybe she wasn't close with her family.
True.
She was a stripper after all. I don't know.
What?
The big breakthrough, though, for the team came with a former Looker's employee who was serving time in jail. Emily Bell Sanchez danced at Looker's with Michelle Ashley. According to the investigative team, she had an excellent memory and could recall seeing all four of the men at the club. She said that Michelle Ashley would work with the suspects at the club, pointing out men that were carrying a lot of cash.
Oh, no.
The suspects would then follow the men to the parking lot and rob them at gunpoint. She said they always had guns, every single one of them, and they'd brag about it. Sanchez said that Michelle Ashley knew that Keith was coming to see her in advance, and this had been planned for days in advance. Sanchez told them about the night of Keith Jones's murder. She said that Michelle Ashley returned to the club looking nervous after she left Jones's for the first time. Then, in the days after his death, she heard rumors around the club that the four men had killed someone. She stopped hanging out with Michelle Ashley because of her suspicions. So Detective Brenneman at this point felt comfortable applying for an arrest warrant for Michelle Ashley. And that would be just the start. They'd go after her and then they'd go after the four male suspects. Now keep in mind that this was all 22 years after the murder of Keith Jones. And they really, when you think about it, didn't have anything else besides the statement from the Sanchez woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no other evidence came forward, really.
Maybe after they spoke with her, they went back over Michelle's statements and was like, you know what? You can kind of see how this might be accurate or this might be truthful to what Michelle said. Because, again, I'm going back. How did she know exactly who the four men were unless she knew them prior?
We'll get to her statements later. Because originally, you know, Michelle Ashley was looked at as a victim, but now she's in some real trouble. On October 22nd, 2019, 42-year-old Michelle Ashley Jackson was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. And if you remember from other episodes we've done from Florida, there's the felony murder rule in Florida. So even if you didn't pull the trigger, if you're involved in the murder, you could be liable for first degree murder and you could end up dying in prison. She pled not guilty and her family hired her a good defense attorney for her because she refused to go down without a fight. And she held firm to her innocence every step of the way. And Michelle Ashley explained to her attorney in detail her side of the story. And this is all in a documentary.
Okay.
So she felt like she was being treated as the scapegoat. Like to her, it was more about who they could pin this murder on and get this cold case solved, even if it wasn't her. She felt like she was being judged because she was a dancer. But in reality, she said she had only been a dancer for 3 weeks. And that was it.
Wow. So
she just had to get some money, I guess, real quick.
Quick cash.
She told her attorney that she met Keith through his sister way back in the day, and they clicked right off the bat. They became good friends. She would go to church with their family and have dinner with them. She hadn't seen Keith in a very long time because she moved away. He was still in Daytona Beach. So when he told her that he would be coming to town, she was very excited. He was a good friend to her, someone she could always talk to, just a good person. And she first saw him when he was having a drink at the bar at Looker's. He bought a few lap dances from her, and they talked for a while. He was giving her 20s and hundreds.
Yeah, I see. Wow.
Lots of big bills. And she would take that money to the back room and put it in her bag, then, like, come back out, you know, and return for more dances. But there were 40 or so people in the club, too, and
she just kept going back to
him? Yeah, she kept going back to him. But you got to think people are seeing him flashing the big bills, right? Yeah. And while everybody else is throwing ones.
Maybe a five.
Yeah. It's like people talk. People see that kind of stuff. They ended up going back to his hotel room for a couple hours. They talked some more and had sex. Then she went back to the club to work some more. A while later at around 1:30 a.m., Keith called the club and asked for her to come back to his motel room. So she got a ride from her friend Jamal.
One of the men she named.
Yes. The same Jamal that was one of the four suspects that she identified for the police. She said he was a friend of hers from the club, and she had actually been seeing him for a couple weeks before that. And they had slept together a few times. So, yeah, she was sleeping with one of the men that burst into the room and killed Keith. Not a really good look.
No, ma'am.
No. Definitely gives the prosecution something against her. And Jamal wasn't the only one in the car when she got a ride over to Keith's motel room. Richard, another one of the suspects, was in the car, too. So either...
You think she was bragging, like, you know, I made like $500 off this one guy. We used to know each other back in the day.
Very possible she could have just accidentally told him too much, or she could have been in on it. You don't know.
Or they saw it, or... It's weird that you're going to have the guy you're kind of hooking up with drop you off at another guy's motel room.
Very weird. People are weird. She said that when she got to the motel room the second time, they had more sex. That would explain the multiple condoms in the room. Then she called herself a cab and was waiting on that to arrive. So they were sitting there for about 20 minutes or so when they heard a knock at the door and she answered it. And it was the four men. They busted into the room. She screamed, and she said the big Gerard guy grabbed her and pushed her against the wall. They're arguing with Keith, trying to find out where the money is, and he's not giving in. And that's when she said she heard the gunshot. And you got to think, he's this Marine.
I was about to say, he's going into law enforcement.
He's
going to
put up a fight, right? Yeah. Even though it's 4v1. So they snatched her and put her in the car with them. One of her shoes got left behind, and she doesn't remember where her bag was. They told her not to tell anyone or they'd kill her. She said okay. When she got home, she saw the news that Keith was dead, and that's when she called the police. So she told her lawyer that she was cooperative with the police. They treated her like a person that could help them solve the crime, not as a suspect.
Like now?
Like now, yeah. The detectives leading the case in 1997 didn't think Michelle Ashley was involved. Detective Lawson and Lewis. Lawson was the lead in that case during that time. Since reopening the case in 2018, Detective Lewis had changed his stance. he had every opportunity to make that change known in the 22 years since the murder. So did he just want on the prosecution team or what's going on there? Like joining
a bandwagon? Yeah. Or?
And apparently there were no notes or recordings that were taken when they interviewed Michelle Ashley in 1997. So those two detectives could really just say anything in court to make her look bad. There were no records to go back on.
How strange.
Yeah, they didn't do their job. That's why Keith Jones's family was so pissed off at him. But when it comes to the trial, that's just going to make the two detectives look bad, really. Like, for example, they could have interviewed the cab company. Like, was there really a call made from the motel room for a cab that night? Or they could have checked the phone records, you know, just to see. Was she actually waiting for a cab? Anything like that.
You would think that they'd really want to work on this because that man, their victim, was going to be one of them.
Good point. Exactly.
I mean, he was a veteran and he was going to go into law enforcement. Yeah, you think they'd have a little more pride.
He had already graduated the academy. Mm-hmm. During the trial in August 2022.
Wow.
Which lasted 4 days. The state argued that although Miss Jackson didn't pull the trigger, she opened the door to the room that led to the death of Keith Jones. They argued that it was a setup and the defendant set it up. And they emphasized that no money was found in the room with Keith's body, showing that robbery was the clear motive. They said it's not always what's left in the room, but what's not in the room. They showed pictures of Jones and reminded the jurors that he was interviewing for law enforcement positions. He was a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. And he was the victim in this case. They referenced $5,000 that Ashley took the night of the murder. So I don't know if they mean that's how much he spent at the club or that's how much she ended up having. I don't know.
Damn.
They said he wanted to have sex with her and she saw that as an opportunity. She tipped off 4 men to Jones's whereabouts who then robbed him, beat him, and shot him in the head. The defense, on the other hand, presented 3 pictures to the jurors. One of those was a picture of a woman's sandal left at the scene. And their argument was that if this was planned, would the defendant have left her shoe behind?
Oh, because she got carried out or taken out forcefully that she came out of her shoe. So if she wasn't, I see.
And then also the condoms that were left behind with her DNA in them as well.
Mm-hmm.
The defense really grilled the first detective, Lawson, on the case for not getting a recording of their initial interviews with Miss Jackson. The other detective didn't testify in court. I'm not sure why. But like, yeah, wouldn't it be nice to have tape of the statement?
Mm-hmm.
That would have helped a lot to see like what her mental state was after the fact. And they were just grilling him like, we don't have those things because you didn't record them.
Yeah.
You didn't take the notes. You didn't bother to push play on a tape recorder. The defense's game plan was just to destroy the state's case, showing that it was just full of liars and holes and theories. It's not what you know, it's what you can
prove
in court beyond a reasonable doubt. And there was just too much doubt in this case. And then the biggest witness the state had was the Emily Bell Sanchez woman. Their whole case relied heavily on her, the former co-worker of Miss Jackson. Sanchez said the robbery had been planned for days and Ashley had confessed to it soon after. She testified about everything I'd mentioned before, about how Michelle Ashley worked with the 4 men scouting for rich guys for them to rob, how she knew ahead of time that Keith was coming to town and it was all planned out, how Michelle Ashley looked nervous when she came back to the club after she was with Jones. But the defense absolutely destroyed Sanchez's credibility. So it turned out she was compensated heavily by the state for her cooperation.
You said she was in jail, right, when they talked to her?
Exactly. Okay. So $12,000. Not only was she getting paid, but she was promised witness relocation expenses. She was added to drug rehabilitation, and her drug charges were dismissed. So she basically got a get-out-of-jail-free card to testify against Michelle Ashley. Not to mention she looked like a druggie, too.
Oh, yeah.
She looked rough. Like, how can you believe anything she says she was paid for? And she was the most important piece to the state's argument, possibly really the only thing that they had. Michelle Ashley actually broke down crying whenever Sanchez was up on the stand because she said Sanchez was lying. And the judge actually had to call a 15-minute recess just to get her to calm down and stuff. When the trial was through, it took the jury 2 hours to reach a verdict. Michelle Ashley Jackson was found not guilty. She was free to go.
Okay.
Miss Jackson burst into tears after the jury delivered the verdict. People in the audience gasped, cried, and hugged each other. Her family was on one side, and then Jones's family was on the other side, so I'm sure there were a lot of mixed emotions. The defense attorney, Harris, was overjoyed that they came away with the victory, and he was so happy for Miss Jackson and her family. He said that they were great people, and he was so pleased to be working with all of them and his entire team. He knew that if he didn't hug Michelle after the jury announced the verdict, that she was going to go crazy and scream with emotion, so he just didn't want that to happen, so he just held her tight as he could.
Don't breathe.
Yeah, until he made sure that she was okay in that moment, and he said that was like the first time he'd ever done that with one of his clients.
Damn.
Akeith's family were disappointed, obviously. It was heartbreaking to them because Michelle Ashley couldn't be retried on the same charges now, and those four perpetrators were still walking out there, and they have the opportunity to live their lives wherever they may be. So that just kind of sucks. And they also wanted to stress that Keith's presence in a gentleman's club that night had nothing to do with his murder. His sister said, "We all make choices. We all have done some things that we probably shouldn't have done or should have known, but that's no reason to question that. So don't judge him because of where he was and what he did. He was still a human being."
He's a single guy. He went there with a purpose to see her.
Yeah. They want him to be remembered as an aspiring law enforcement officer who loved his family, really, more than anything.
Well, I get that, but he's a dude getting a hookup. They just said he's human. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Yeah. Nothing good's going to happen when you go to one of those places, though.
No.
So, with that all being said, was this a betrayal of friendship? Or did Michelle Ashley have nothing to do with Keith's murder? What do you think? What do y'all think?
I don't think it was a betrayal. I just think she's dumb. She probably ran her mouth. She got a ride from the wrong person who has the wrong type of friends, and they saw a opportunity. But it's kind of hard. Like, I don't want to say she wasn't involved, but she was, just indirectly.
There's definitely no way you can find her guilty.
Right.
With the information, with the evidence that they have, you would have to jump to too many conclusions. You would have to just assume that she did it, you know? Assume the bad.
Uh-huh. I don't think she...
But she could have. It's very possible that she could have.
Well, if we're going on the assumption that the Sanchez lady was correct when she said Michelle and these four men did it to other patrons, jumped them in the parking lot, but they've never killed any of those people. Maybe they were drunker, maybe they didn't put up a fight, maybe Keith put up a fight, I don't know. But I'm not going to say it is all blame on her, but partial yes. Because she called a cab from the motel to go home when she could have called a cab from the bar to go back to the motel and see Keith. She didn't have to ride with Big J, Jamal, you know.
True.
And he had that buddy in the car. And just because you know somebody from a place like a store doesn't mean they're going to be the same people you see outside that place.
Very true.
I don't think it was directly her fault, but because of the events, like her being involved in the events leading up to it, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she really is innocent, I can't imagine what her family and her had to go through 20 years later, having to spend all that money on attorney fees. She spent 12 months in prison. She lost her home. She lost her job. She was struggling to afford health care for her daughter, who had like a cyst in her brain that needed surgery.
That was terrifying.
I think she was 22 years old, 21 years old. And then she had another daughter as well who she gave the custody to her mother, obviously, because she couldn't be there for her.
Right.
And even when she got out of prison, she didn't regain custody because she didn't have a big enough place for her, and she just felt like she was better off with her mother.
She needed to start her life back over in her 40s, of all things.
Man. But, and then having her name dragged through the mud, too, was bad.
You'd have to, like, move out of state to start over.
She didn't, though. She stayed in Florida. And she said she was only a stripper for 3 weeks. You got to get money somehow. It's just...
Right.
Nowadays, people just show their feet on OnlyFans, you know, so...
Or sell their used underwear.
Ugh, yeah.
But going back, did you ever see anything or anything come from the PI that the family hired?
No, not really. So he wasn't much help either.
What a waste. All
right. Yeah, but also, like, if you're siding against Miss Jackson, you see it a whole different way. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it doesn't make sense why they would let her live.
That is true, too. But unless
she knew them.
She was hooking up with the Jamal guy still. Maybe he's like, that's my woman. She's not going to tell. If she does, I'll know where to find her. Maybe she was threatened like that.
Still, that's risky.
It is.
You just killed a guy and took all his money, and then you let her live in the hopes that she doesn't rat you out.
And she does, like, hours later.
Yeah, yeah.
At least she had a good enough heart to come forward right then and there. She didn't wait.
Yeah, that's what makes me think also that she's innocent, was that the police didn't have to go to her. She came to the mm-hmm. police looking to help them.
Well, good job, love.
Thank you.
Yay,
I did
Jesse.
One.
Yay. You can celebrate with cookies later.
Moral of the story, don't go flashing big money at a strip club.
Smart. Very smart. Be funny though if you get robbed afterwards and like, oh, I saw a big bundle of cash. It's just one, so it's like 100 ones. Like, they didn't get shit from you.
Monopoly money.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. We love having you out there joining us and seeing all of our doggo pics and cat pics. We've been on a roll lately. If you like us, rate us. Leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram. When you search for Caught Red Podcast, spell pod with a P-A-W-D. And we will be back next week with some more true crime. But until then, stay local, shop local,
murder local.